Welcome to another program of Heart and Soul, playing the music of the church throughout the ages, from ancient modern hymns to songs of praise and worship from the early days to the songs of today. Heart and Soul comes to you each week with a Bible message also to encourage and challenge you. Now, here is your host for today's program, Carla Evans.
In our program today, we will bring you selections from the vast reservoir of music of the church throughout the ages. David will bring today's meditation on the Word, and we'll have a look in depth at a selected hymn of the day. Let's commence with a choir singing the hymn of rejoicing, Come and Rejoice with Me.
There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Cristo, 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 en su nombre hay un algo sin par. Enseña, salva, Cristo, la fragrancia tras la lluvia es Él. Cristo, 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 cielo y tierra deben proclamar. Reyes y reinos, todos pasarán, pero en su nombre hay un algo sin par. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Steve Green with the old favourite made popular by the Gaither family. There's something about that name, with a little Spanish thrown in. This is Heart and Soul with Carla Evans. Speaking of Spanish, here is Twyla Paris with the old song, He is Exalted, or part of the song in Spanish called El y Exaltado, He is Exalted, followed by Dick and Mel Tunney with I'm Praying for You.
Exaltado no céu, eu louvo.
Coming up next, we hear today's feature hymn on Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul.
Katharina von Schlegel was born October the 22nd, 1697, and held a position in the Evangelical Lutheran Protestant Nunnery at Köthen, Germany. We do not have much information about her. However, her hymn from the German was translated by Miss Jane Borthwick, who was of a Scottish family. Her sister, Mrs. Eric Finlater, and herself edited Hymns from the Land of Luther, 1854. The hymn is Be Still My Soul, and is best known by its tune known as Finlandia, which was composed by Johann Sibelius in 1899. Born at Hämeenlinna, Finland, the son of Swedish-speaking medical doctor, he lost his father to typhoid in 1868. Leaving the family in substantial debt. His mother, again pregnant, had to sell their property and move in with her widowed mother. His aunt Julia gave him piano lessons when he was 7 on the family upright piano, wrapping him up on the knuckles when he played a wrong note. He learned to improvise as he played. Sibelius's works were more and more appreciated in Helsinki concert halls as he composed and conducted symphonies in the mid-1890s. Much of his music became popular in Finland and in Germany. The tune Finlandia is a tribute to his native Finland, and the tune has been attached to Katharina Schlegel's hymn, Be Still My Soul. Today, Welsh singer Catherine Jenkins sings it.
Testify. For as long as I shall. reaches out. Every hand that reaches out to offer peace. Every simple act of mercy. Every step to kingdom come. All the hope in every heart will speak what love has done.
Was Avalon with a song called Testify to Love. Now we turn to Michael W. Smith with the song Agnus Dei. Agnus Dei is the Latin name which means Lamb of God and is honoured within Christian liturgies descending from the historic Latin liturgical tradition. It is the name given to a specific prayer that occurs in these liturgies and is the name given to the music pieces that accompany the text of this prayer. The use of the title, Lamb of God, in liturgy is based on John 1, verse 29, in which John the Baptist, upon seeing Jesus, proclaims, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Almighty reigns.
Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Before the message, here is a song from LL Music from England with Father of Life.
The Lord Jesus. In thanksgiving we come, in worship we come to you. Thank you, Father.
Now it's time to hear from Heart and Soul regular speaker David Evans. Thank you, David.
Continuing our series on the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross, we come to saying number four today, and they are the words of anguish. In the most critical moment of the entire Bible, the moment when Jesus dies on the cross, he shouts from the cross a phrase that can be puzzling to those of us reading the account so many centuries later. The words are, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They're probably words that we've thought if we haven't said them ourselves when we've been in distress time. The phrase is found in both Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. The English Standard Version of the Bible relates it like this: "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.'" Now, to forsake means to turn away from or to withdraw from. Why would God do that to his own son? As it is something that we would not do to our own children, it's odd that the source of all life would turn away from his own son. Yet this is exactly what has happened in this moment. It was necessary for the fullness of God's love for humanity to be realized, and it tells us how much God values us. The verse has context in Psalm 22. When he cries out this phrase, it is a reference to Psalm 22. This psalm is held to be a messianic psalm, and one where the author, King David, appears to be sharing in some vision of what will happen to the Lord's Messiah. Jesus only shares the first verse of the psalm, but because of the scriptural literacy of Jesus' day, most people would have assumed he was referring to the entire psalm. And we can examine it and find the tie-ins to the crucifixion narrative. In Psalm 22:6-8, it says that David's enemies were mocking him, specifically because he trusts in the Lord, that the Lord would rescue him. Matthew 27:35-44 and Mark 15:29-32 both say that the people mocking Jesus claimed that if God loved him so much, then God should save him in that moment. Psalm 22:18 states that the clothing of the author was divided up and the oppressors were casting lots, a game of chance, for the possession of it. Matthew 27:35 tells us that Jesus' garments were divided up and the new owners were deciding by casting lots. How amazing is it that across the approximately 1,000 years difference between King David's vision recorded in Psalm 22 and the recorded actions of the death of Jesus should be so similar? But wait, there's more. Psalm 22, though a messianic psalm, is also classified as a lament, another category of psalm. And laments are notable in that not only do they describe an unbearable situation in which the author finds himself, they also declare a universal dependence upon the Lord and gratitude is offered for the grace of God. When Jesus cried out the first verse of this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he was also calling out his dependence upon God and his gratitude for the benevolence of God. Psalm 22:3-5, 9-11 and 19-31, he recognized the desperation of humanity that suddenly hung upon his shoulders, and even in that agonizing moment, his voice called out to show that only God can deliver us. Now we look at the verse context in Matthew and Mark. Matthew and Mark share the same verse in the same way, almost word for word, yet they are doing it with different goals. Matthew stresses throughout his writings that Jesus is the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament. And this is highlighted by his emphasis on Jesus' roles of teacher and king. Keeping that in mind, Matthew would have likely connected in his mind the author of Psalm 22, King David, to Jesus, and thereby making Jesus the one who is anointed to complete the work, save his people, and rule in eternity. Mark had a different focus. While he did understand Jesus as the Son of God, he typically made sure that people understood his humanity as being a part of the unique personhood of Jesus. Jesus is not half human and half God. The human part was as important as the God part. For him, Jesus was fully God and fully human, not some less powerful demigod as the Romans or Greeks would have us understood. He has the attributes of God and humanity fully expressed and fully powered. Jesus' cry of the psalm would have been of a suffering Saviour facing death for the most noble cause. This was different than most people's notion of God. For them, God was unkillable. Here, God has become truly vulnerable for the sake of his creation, and now the moment of death arises. The verse in question arises at a very specific point in the story of Jesus' death. Prior to this, Jesus was suffering not only the physical pain of his torture and the implementation of the crucifixion, but he was suffering the psychological pain of ridicule by those whom he was saving by his actions. Both Matthew and Mark share that after he gives his life, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the Roman centurion watching Jesus die exclaimed that he was surely the Son of God. In the Temple of Jerusalem, the curtain that the Bible speaks of is the one that separates the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. The Holy of Holies was the place where the Ark of the Covenant had been placed, though it had been lost by this point. It is the physical location where God met with a representative of his people, and that was the high priest. If we interpret the actions leading up to this moment, it leads us to the conclusion that the humiliation, suffering, and death of Jesus Christ removed the barriers between us and God. The theological term for this is the word justification. There was no longer a need for a blood sacrifice every year for sin. Jesus' sacrifice dealt with sin once and for all. No longer do we need a high priest to speak on our behalf. Jesus has assumed this role. It tells us that in Hebrews 7, verses 22-28. The relationship that we were created to have with God is now possible again. Why does Jesus cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ultimately, it comes down to an exchange or substitution. We were given the covenant ideas and language to be able to understand in some way the need for God to demand justice for the offense of human sin. We despised the goodness of God when Eve took of the forbidden fruit, and because of the first offence, we have all lived under its curse. It is an imperfection in the good thing that God created us to be. The language of sacrifice allows us to begin to comprehend our need and the remedy for that imperfection, a sacrifice of blood. However, the question does present itself, how effective is a sacrifice that has to be renewed continuously? Is there some way to pay the price forever? God had this very thing in mind from the beginning. The early sacrifices were in place to help us to understand what Jesus would do when he came to walk among us. You see, sacrifices had to be perfect animals. Humans are not perfect from birth. He would be able to satisfy the demand for a perfect sacrifice because he was perfect from before conception. Only Jesus could pay our price. Only Jesus could suffer in our place. When Jesus hangs on the cross, despised, suffering and dying, he has upon himself the entirety of all sin. God cannot look upon sin, so he turns his back and withdraws his favour. The burden is now fully upon his Son, and the reality of God's wrath for sin reveals itself in full. Here is where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In this moment, there is the despair of death, but in the words of the psalm that he references, there is also hope for deliverance. Jesus still has trust in the God of the universe. He has submitted to God's will to that very last moment. There is a terrible beauty in this death, in that it shows us that God loves us by taking our place on the cross and dying in our stead. What do Jesus' words mean for us today? Jesus' words are not a pleasant phrase. They are full of despair. It is misunderstood by those close by when he said it, and today it can be difficult to understand without placing it into its appropriate context of Psalm 22. You cannot leave it by itself. Jesus was calling us to the full psalm, just as he knew that his followers would understand when they figured out what he had said. Yes, that was a moment of ultimate pain and loss, as only the burden of sin could cause. But also, there was still hope in the promise of God's deliverance, and that there would be resurrection on the other side of death. Psalm 22 shows us that Jesus' utter dependence was upon God, even when he could not feel anything but the weight of the sin of the world. We are invited to do the same in our lives, to depend on God, trust in his love, and believe that eternal life is offered to us through the sacrifice of Jesus, his Son. And if you come to believe that today, you can invite Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. That sacrifice will be personal for you, and it will be a sacrifice that gives you freedom from sin. Trust in him today. Give your life to Jesus, and let him fulfil all he came to do on the cross to save the world, to save you, my friend, from your sin, and go on to live that abundant life in him. May the Lord bless you today, is my prayer.
Oh,
music up next.
This is Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Here is a Don Marsh orchestra and chorus with the two offerings. First, the Don Moen composition, He Knows My Name, and then Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Today I went into a newsagent with my daughter so she could get some supplies for a school project. I wandered down the magazine aisle and I was overwhelmed by the beautiful, shiny, smiling images on the majority of the covers. It reminded me of the pressures all around us to be someone we're not, or to strive to be the perfect person that society expects us to be. People often measure their self-worth by what they look like, who their friends are, or their financial success. Magazine covers, billboards, and Facebook feeds all reinforce these things as signs of success and value. The problem is they can easily change. We can't always control our looks, friends, or our finances. So who are we then? Fortunately, there is someone who believes we are worthwhile despite our looks, successes, or failures. We don't have to keep chasing the so-called perfect image or lifestyle because Jesus Christ loves us as we are, and that doesn't change.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. want to see
was a Scottish festival singers with the hymn, "Oh Jesus, I Have Promised." Let's conclude today's program with a hymn of praise with the wonderful California Baptist University Choir. for listening today. Our speaker was David Evans, and I'm Carla Evans, who has been your host.
If you've been blessed by Heart and Soul, why not drop us a line? Our email address is heartandsoulmusic@bigpond.com. We have a website. It's heartandsoul.org.au. Or you might like to write to this radio station in appreciation for them bringing us to you. Heart and Soul is an Australian program